Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All Exits Closed. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is filmmaker Mike Moyne and Alan Collins, and they're here to talk about the movie that they've been making about the student loan debt crisis. So, Mike and Alan, good morning, and how are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Mike, tell us a little bit how far you've come so far.
Well, you know, we started 5 years ago documenting the student loan debt crisis in the United States, which has only increased in terms of the impact on borrowers. We then spent the pandemic editing up episode one, which we call Sally May Not. We're in the process of putting six chapters together for the feature documentary called Scared to Debt. And we're grateful that we were invited to the Whistleblower Summit to have the U.S. premiere in Washington, D.C.
Okay. So, Alan, from the time you met Mike, how much has this problem grown?
Well, I think I met Mike at a very fortuitous time for making this film, Cynthia. You know, the lending system was on a tear right around the time that we met. It was probably at its most vile and most threatening. However, I'm here to report to you today, this lending system, it's done. It's finished at this point. I mean, the numbers are just too insane. We're looking at a default rate even before COVID hit of something like 75%, which is around four times higher than the default rate for subprime home mortgages. We're getting close to $2 trillion in indebtedness.
Oh my God.
You know, more than anything, this pandemic really put the brakes on everything. You know, nobody is paying or has been paying on their federal student loans for the past year and a half now. And I truly don't think that this lending system can be saved. I don't think very many people at all are ever going to resume paying on their loans. It's just not going to happen. So this lending system is dying in slow motion right before our eyes. And thank God we're documenting every step of the way. So this is going to be a very interesting film.
If I could add to that, Cynthia. I was on a call with one of our experts in the film, Bob Hildreth, with the International Monetary Fund, who said that the likely solution right now in October is to extend the pause on student loan payments this fall. Now, that'll push us into another year. If it goes 3 years by then, as Alan said, no one will resume making payments. So the more they extend this, the likelihood is that, just as Alan said, is that eventually, you know, borrowers create new habits and they're not going to be able to make payments onto their student loans.
So when you two met, it was well before Biden became president, and Biden has been, you know, aligned with the banking industry in his state. So back then, you had no idea Biden would become president. And how bad do you think it is, Alan?
Well, you know, Joe Biden, among all living people, probably deserves among the most credit for weaponizing this lending system against the citizens. You know, he was in the Senate in 1977 when they first started mucking around with the bankruptcy laws. And he was a fairly key person at that time with the legislation that restricted bankruptcy. And again, he was a very key person in removing bankruptcy rights from private student loans in 2005. So Biden was exactly the person we did not want to win the presidential race. Like, maybe even Trump would have been better than him, although that's a hard thing to say. Yeah, Biden was our last pick, but yet here we are. And, you know, the promises that he made before the election, saying, I will eliminate your student loan debt if you earn less than $125,000 a year, or I will knock $10,000 off everybody's balance, and these campaign promises that he made, he has gone 180 degrees backslid on all of these campaign promises. And I think people just aren't going to take it. You know, he's losing a ton. Tens of millions of people are turning viciously against Biden now, who voted for him in the expectation that he would be canceling loans. So Biden's going to be tough.
I don't see any unrest in this country over it. I don't see anything on the news about it. Is there unrest in the country?
Well, it's interesting.
You know, this isn't
the point.
Go ahead, Mike.
Cynthia, I know we're trying to get the word out on our documentary the last few weeks, and it's interesting how skittish the media is in covering this topic. So it is going to come to a boil whether the media talks about it or not, and whether the elected officials want to address it or not.
Alan?
And, well, I would maybe just add, you know, this isn't the sort of issue that people are going to rush out and march in the streets and shake their fists. It's a very private issue. There's a very good reason John Adams said, you know, the best way to enslave a country is through debt. You know, it's a personal issue. And so, you know, I don't think that we're going to be seeing a million-man march on Washington, D.C. necessarily. But I think the most important lever that the citizens can pull, which is to not pay, that is happening by default right now. And it's kind of ironic that for decades, the federal government and the lenders could make a ton of money simply by doing nothing, by making no changes. The inertia, you know, always accrued the financial benefits to them. Now that the payment pause is instituted because of the pandemic, that very same inertia is going to be their undoing, because as Mike said, the longer they wait to try and make people resume payments, the less likely that's going to happen. You know, the lending people don't know what to do right now. They're paralyzed. They have no idea what they should do. And I'm just going to say, this lending system, it's done. It's finished. It's toast. There's no saving it. And in my humble opinion, there should be no saving it. This lending system should be taken to the bath and drown in the tub.
It seems as though movie theaters are coming back. I'm afraid of the Delta variants, that everything could be set back again. But do you see people flocking to the theaters rather than watching it on their on the televisions at home, Mike?
I see a mixture of people eager to, first of all, as a short documentary that runs 41 minutes, it is very unlikely, unless it were a feature, and still it would be unlikely that this movie would be consumed in a movie theater. There's very few documentaries mm-hmm. that get that sort of, what we call a theatrical release. So it's likely to be on one of these platforms. And right now, the film industry, entertainment industry, has shifted to virtual. And that is a viable way in which people can consume new content. We've already been doing it for years, and it got us through the pandemic on things like Netflix and Hulu and Disney Plus and Peacock, and which is the latest platform to dip its toe in. And that's not going to change. In fact, you know, because of the success of all the streaming, and I'm thinking of the what's the name of the box that you hook up to your TV? They've got all these things, these Amazon Fire Sticks and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so much content online, and that's a viable way of informing people on unfortunately it is similar to an Inconvenient Truth in that it's a documentary that's going to raise awareness. And look where we are now with climate. And we're trying to address those issues. But this will have I think the issue isn't going to be cleaned up right away, as Alan said. I agree with Alan that the lending system is all but over or about over. And I also have, I just want to shift gears, a concern that the cost of college has risen so high as a result of the removal of consumer protections. There are no breaks. It's one of the things that, I learned from Alan's book and from others and from interviewing others, that there are no breaks on this system. So I think people will consume this. Because they want to know, why does college cost so – remember the guy in New York? Why is the rent so damn high?
Right.
Why is college so darn high? And if you look around, and this is more in Chapter 4 for us when we look at universities, but I can share, college presidents are making over $1 million. Then their senior administrators are also making over $1 million. Why is that? Why is that to give someone a 4-year degree, a valuable degree, why does somebody make that much money? And then you get into the athletics and the coaches and all of this, and you've overpriced college for a majority of Americans. It's
right.
Way too much. So that's also
I was speaking to a friend of mine yesterday who's a math teacher, and he has a master's, and he's really a smart guy, and I asked him about getting a PhD, and he said he would get a PhD after he retires from his, teaching career. But he told me that 75% of people with doctorates are adjunct professors. That's amazing.
Yes. And so, and Alan could speak to this, but you've got people who are making millions, 500,000, 300,000, and then you've got your professors who are slotted in as adjunct professors, which might be $17,500 a year, which is not a salary to live on with a PhD and to be able to pay off those loans. So, good point. And I don't know how much longer that is sustainable.
So ultimately, what will your 41 minute documentary, what do you expect the outcome to be?
Well, I don't know the outcome. I know what our intentions were, and that is to change the discourse in the country and initiate this, shift the dialogue away from this being a bad borrower problem. I think by the 41 minutes, viewers will realize there's more to it than that, and it's way more complicated than that. And in fact, the borrowers are the least responsible for the $1.8 trillion. In fact, it's a failed lending system, a corrupt lending system. It's You know, we hope that the audience will draw their own conclusions. And then we're eager to follow it up with even more information, more evidence of this not being a bad borrower problem, which is impacting, if you count the cosigners on all these loans, parents and relatives and grandmas and grandpas, 55 million people in the United States. That's one, what is that, nearly one-sixth of the country.
One-sixth of the country. That's amazing because, you know, Biden promised stuff, but he reneged on it. But up until this election cycle, this presidential election cycle, the issue was hardly even mentioned, right, Alan?
Well, yeah, we've had to fight for every scrap of press attention that we could get over the past 16 years. But, you know, now this issue cannot be avoided any further. It is now a top three or four presidential campaign issue. You know, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren campaigned on it. You know, I think we're finally at the point, and again, thank God that we're documenting every step of the way. I think we're going to see a very major change. I think we're going to see probably the end of the lending system and hopefully the replacement of this lending system with a more rational and sane way to educate our citizens without enslaving them in lifelong debt. I could not be more excited about this film. What really excites me about the film, though, Cynthia, is that, you know, we took a very nonpartisan, sort of apolitical approach here, and I think we're describing the film in a way that whatever people's political beliefs are, whether they're conservative or liberal or none of the above, they're going to see this as an American problem. You know, we've got people from the Cato Institute, from some of the most conservative universities in the country, as well as people like Ralph Nader and Jill Stein, and they're all essentially saying the same thing. And, you know, I think this is really going to help, certainly politically, where at least in Congress right now, this issue has been highly partisanized, where, you know, the Democrats have the white hat and the Republicans have the black hat. I think this film is going to change all of that. And finally, I think hopefully the film will serve as really the fulcrum that we can finally get some balance and get some, you know, bipartisan or nonpartisan solutions that actually work. And so I'm just very excited.
Would you say that the student loan debt crisis is one of the biggest civil rights issues of the 21st century, Alan?
Well, I think you have to start looking at it in those terms. You know, as I said, John Adams many years ago, so there are two ways to conquer and enslave a country. One is by the sword, the other is by debt. You know, the founding fathers, they called for uniform bankruptcy laws ahead of the power to declare war, ahead of the power to raise an army when they wrote the Constitution, gave Congress its powers. And, you know, that has been just blatantly violated. And so, yeah, I think this is a civil rights issue. And, you know, we can also describe this problem in any number of ways. You know, women, this is a women's issue. Women hold two-thirds of the debt. African Americans are being hurt. You know, the default rate for African Americans is four times or five times the default rate for white people average. This is also a red state issue, believe it or not. You know, over a third of U.S. states owe more than their state budget in student loan debt. And most of these are southern, historically red states. And one thing your audience may not know, this is a senior citizen issue. There are more people over the age of 50 with student loans than there are under the age of 25. There are more people over 35 than under 35 with student loan debt. So, yeah, this is a civil rights issue, and it can be described in many different ways.
Mike, you wanted to say something?
Sure, thank you. One thing I just want to share an insight is that the things that Alan just said actually wind up being in the mouths of elected officials. So, you know, Alan's talking about how older people are impacted by student loans, which is a great point. And that is featured by at least two women in our documentary, some veterans who are carrying this debt load into their 70s. And it really is impacting their quality of life after serving the country. In both cases, both have served the country. One is a teacher, one is as a veteran. I do have a clip that that is in the documentary that hasn't been shared that would be worth listening to. And I have it queued up. Is it okay if we give it a shot? It's a short, under 60 seconds.
Sure, go ahead.
All right, so it starts off with Alan, and then it goes into a man named Bob Hildreth, who has looked at this, and he's been on the board at Harvard grad, and he's also a member of the International Monetary Fund. He's worked with countries on dealing with their debt. And then it wraps with Rachel Schreiber, who's the Dean of Parsons. So I wanted to just share that for the listeners to get a picture. Here we go.
And wondered why the cost of college grew at twice the rate of inflation. That is up until 2008 when this quadrupled.
Imagine that this huge cliff, and against this cliff, colleges on surfboards have been washed up higher and higher by waves of student loans. So now they're on a ledge way up here with incredibly high tuitions. Tuitions which in 10 years will across the board be $100,000 a year. And
oh my
they
God.
Don't know how to get off, to get down from that ledge.
We see it as a deep ethical problem for us that we are graduating students with this much debt.
You know, it is a deep ethical problem. And that's, I think, something that we want as an outcome for this issue to be embraced as such, because it's been kicked. The can has been kicked. The rising cost, the predatory lending, the fees that people are just unable to come out from under because they've made payments. And this is something I learned early on when Alan introduced me to a gentleman who also appears in a documentary in Syracuse, New York, who, and this is highlighted in the documentary, who makes religious payments for 48 months in a row, only to see the balance not go down. And in my book, my wife and I would never sign up for a loan like that, but certainly people would never sign up for a mortgage like that. That's where you start to see that it's truly predatory. And they've really... Congress has set this up. It's harming borrowers. The wealthy don't have anything to worry about because they'll just pay it off, right? But it's the middle class that carries this debt. It's the poor. It's the women. It's minorities who don't get paid as much, who don't get hired as frequently. They're the ones who are likely to go into default and then never come out from that because the cards are stacked against them. And that is
so
the need, Cynthia, to want to finish all six chapters.
So the premiere of the first chapter was the 26th of July. After the 26th of July, will people be able to see it online at their convenience?
So thing is about a documentary or in the film world is we're waiting to get a distributor who will pick it up and put it on a platform. In the meantime, it will also be scheduled to premiere September 25th at the Morehouse College Film Festival, Human Rights Film Festival in Atlanta. And we're waiting to hear back from other noted film festivals across the country as early as here in New England, to the West Coast, to even in London. And so we'll post those places where the film will be screening, likely virtual as well, on our website at scaredtodeathmovie.com.
Okay. So for more information, people can go to that website. Can you repeat the name of it, please?
Sure. ScaredToDeathMovie.com. And in the upper right of the website are all our social media handles. So our Twitter, our Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram. People can start by going there and see clips of the movie. We're leaking it out right now on our social media handles.
Oh, that's great. So we have just a little over a minute to go. Do you have any final thoughts, either Alan or Mike?
Well, I'm just so excited to see this film come out, Cynthia. It is hands down going to be the strongest documentary ever made on the student loan issue. You know, it's unfiltered. We went directly to the sources. And I think we described this lending scam exactly as it is, without any outside undue pressures to sort of spin it one way or the other. So people are going to be stunned and amazed.
I will add that I would like to thank you, Cynthia, because you came to the Northeast Filmmakers Lab and you introduced this subject to me and introduced me to Alan. And that we hope, as you said back then, don't you want to help millions of people? And so I hope your listeners hear your words and spread the word about this, because this impacts all families. You know, past, present, your grandkids, they're going to be going to college. So everybody ought to go see this film or find out more how they can help.
So as you progress with your film festivals, I'd like to have you back on and talk about the film festivals and talk about the reaction. I think that'll be very helpful as people learn more about this film. So you have been listening to Mike Camoin, filmmaker, and Alan Collins, who's the founder of studentloanjustice.org. I'm Cynthia Pooler. This is All Exits Closed. And if you like this show, follow us on Twitter. Mike and Alan, it's been a pleasure. We'll talk again. And thank you, everybody. Have a great day.
Thank you, Cynthia.
Thanks, Cynthia.